I want, as we start this broadcast, to give you just a small perspective of where we've come from since the 16th century. The English Bible had its genesis in the writings of Oxford theologian John Wycliffe. He was, of course, fondly remembered as the morning star of the Reformation, and his translations from the 1380s remained the only English Bible until the invention of movable type in the 16th century. And because Wycliffe held that the Bible was the exemplar of Christianity and the sole authority for faith and practice, well, his writings were condemned as heresy, because it was believed that to put the Bible into the hands of the laity was an outrage against the authority of the church. In fact, 44 years after Wycliffe died, Pope Martin V had his bones unearthed, incinerated, and the ashes unceremoniously thrown to the wind. Perhaps no single person made a greater contribution to the legacy of the English Bible than Oxford Cambridge scholar William Tyndale. And like Wycliffe, Tyndale purposed to make the Bible available to the commoner so that a boy who drives the plow would be as familiar with the Bible as was the Pope. After a lengthy imprisonment, Tyndale, like Wycliffe before him, was tried for translating the Bible into the English language. He was martyred. In fact, October 6th, 1536, his body was ablaze, and he cried out, "Lord, open the eyes of England's king." And his prayers found an answer, ironically enough, in King Henry VIII, who authorized an English translation of greatest volume to be chained to every church pulpit in the land. The volume and popularity of the Bible was so great that parishioners far and wide gathered in parishes to experience formal readings from its pages. And thus, within 3 years of his death, the translation work of Tyndale became virtually ubiquitous. The legacy of a common English Bible from Wycliffe to the New King James Version of the Bible, however, is only one part of the story. The even greater legacy is God's faithfulness in preserving His Word from the time of the original writings to the present. And you can be absolutely certain that the Bible is a faithful representation of the original writings. It's not a copy of a copy of a copy with fresh errors cropping up in each stage of the process. It is indeed divine as opposed to merely human in origin. But think with me for just a moment. From the 16th century and the invention of movable type to the 21st century, we have had the Bible. And today I fear that we have Bibles of every color, shape, and size, and few people are familiar with what is encapsulated in its pages. The reason is we have so many things that capture our attention. Television, the theater, Game Boy, movies, sports, and the Word of God has been gathering dust. And the reason we're doing this broadcast today is because we have in our hands today a product, and we're going to talk about this in just a moment, a complete product that I think is unprecedented. It is a product for the 21st century. It's audio theater, and I would say could well be the most important event in Western Christianity, because this is an event that can produce a surge of faith, and I think even more of biblical literacy, and that is what we need. I've often said it on this broadcast that the greatest problem we face in evangelical Christianity, it's not a problem, it's the problem, is biblical illiteracy. And that is why I am, perhaps the best word is, intoxicated by a product that I hold in my hand. It's the Word of Promise. I've talked about it before, but now it's the complete Word of Promise audio Bible. And it's available not only in CDs, it's also available in MP3, 11 discs. You have the entire Bible. And I suppose there is no way of knowing the enormity of this product, a project and product that has taken 2 years to complete, just the Old Testament portion of, without talking to its producer.